top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on Q.
This is the Midday News for Friday, August 27, in the headlines. Retired assistant professor of nursing in Houston, Texas, Dr. Yvette Rohl, gives a synopsis of her personal experience after contracting COVID-19, her recovery, and her decision to get vaccinated. Antigua's Information Minister Melford Nicholas says over 50% of the recent surge in COVID-19 cases in Antigua Barbuda is being caused by the two variants, Delta and Alpha. And the Florida judge will soon rule on a lawsuit brought by parents trying to overturn Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order banning student mask mandates. The news is brought to you compliments, Courts Dominica Limited.
Courts BOGO is back for 1 week only from August 24th to 31st. Buy one item and get the other at 50% off for credit purchases. Plus, if you shop with Ready Finance, you can pay nothing for 60 days. Don't miss out on this great deal. It's BOGO. Buy one, get one 50% off only at Courts.
COVID-19 protocols will be in full effect.
See in store for details. Courts, bringing value home.
Speaking on the recently held Roots Connections on Q, hosted by Dr. Simone Mathieu, retired assistant professor of nursing in Houston, Texas, Dr. Yvette Rohl gives a synopsis of her personal experience of contracting COVID-19, her doubts about the vaccine and what led her realizing the significance of the vaccine and the dangers that COVID-19 can pose to the human body. Go.
And 2 days later, I got my results and I was positive. I knew I would be positive anyway, because by that time, I'm feeling this tightness in my chest. I'm feeling this overwhelming backache. I feel like I was getting a stroke. My head was pounding. And that night, I had to go to the emergency room because I felt my chest was so tight and the headache was so severe. And so I was taken to the emergency room. And I was examined and I was diagnosed with COVID pneumonia. And right away, because of my age, I'm in that age range where you have to be careful. And they decided to go ahead and do an EKG. That was normal. I stayed in the emergency room for 8 hours because they were concerned about my chest tightness and the fact that I had COVID. So they went ahead and kept me monitoring my oxygen levels. Thank God they stayed stable. And finally, after 8 hours, I was discharged with some instructions.
An emotional Dr. Rohl explained the instructions she was discharged with from ICU. She adds that quarantine was not easy and admits that the combination of natural remedies like ginger tea, fresh fruit juice, and Tylenol every 4 hours.
And here was the instructions I was discharged with. The nurse said to me, "You know you have COVID, right? So you know you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks." I said, "Okay, I know that." And then she said to me, "Well, your oxygen saturation is okay. So this is what you will do. You're going to take some Tylenol for the pain and for the headache and for the fever. Take Tylenol every 4 to 6 hours. And in case you start having problems with breathing, just come back to the emergency room. Meanwhile, I'm going to give you a prescription for albuterol inhaler." And that was it. I was discharged home. That's when things really started getting severe, when during my time at home, during that 2 weeks quarantine. My care provider was my husband, who happened to be working part-time at this point. And this is what I did. I took Tylenol every 4 to 6 hours. But guys, my most important medication during that time was ginger tea. And have you ever heard of ginger steam? Never heard of ginger steam, but my husband made some ginger tea. And while it was really boiling hot, he said, "Put your head over that cup and inhale that steam." And so I inhaled that steam.
She says she reflected on her entire experience after her 2 week recovery from COVID-19 and stated that she was grateful that her employer had special benefits for employees who contracted COVID-19, as she was still paid while undergoing recovery from the disease.
That was my experience with COVID. By week 2, I started feeling much better. I will tell you, the ginger steam really did help clear my airway passages. And I never had to go back to the emergency room, and I am alive today. But when I think and I reflect on this whole experience, I say to myself, I have been out of work for 2 weeks. I was very fortunate at my job. I had this type of job where I got paid while I was sick. And I started thinking about those people who suffered from COVID and even went past 2 weeks and had to be hospitalized and put on ventilators. I thought about the economic situation. I thought about their jobs. I thought about how are they going to take care of their family and not have a job and not have money to put food on the table. And I thought that I was very blessed and very fortunate to have all of those so that I did not have to go through what some other people went through, like loss of jobs and also loss of life.
Dr. Yvette Rowe. National Security Minister Raymond Blackmore says there has to be a culture of compliance to the health protocols implemented by the Ministry of Health in order to defeat COVID-19, and without this compliance, nothing will work. He was speaking on a local radio program.
And I think those measures are intended for us to achieve and to strike a balance at the same time. But I think going forward, we have to have this discussion that we as a people must play our part and to come to the realization that the only way out is by way of vaccination. Because let us suppose the numbers go down tomorrow, and the numbers will go down if we continue to do what we're doing now, and we still don't have the required percentage of the population vaccinated. It'll come back, because it's a pandemic.
Meantime, Blackmore has commended the frontline workers, placing the spotlight this time on fire officers who have been at the forefront despite the challenges posed by the COVID-19 pandemic.
Let me start firstly with the fire officers. We have already spoken about the officials within the Ministry of Health at every level, and it is for me also to recognize the tremendous work of the fire officers and the leadership thus far. The fire department has had quite a number of persons who came back positive, and we were in the 20s. Some have recovered, and I think we have seen an exceptional display of professional, conduct by the fire officers and the leadership from the top, who have been very creative to ensure that the work continues, and they continue to ensure that persons who have to be transported to the various facilities, and that is done, and the traditional work, insofar as the fire service is concerned, continues, and I want to really highly commend them for that.
National Security Minister Raymond Blackmore. Former Agriculture Minister Atherton Mata encourages persons to stand up and take action and demand what is due to them. He was speaking on a special edition of the Talk on the Block program on Thursday. He says the need for a stance is clearer now than before.
So, as my vision of sight fades, my vision of internal understanding and commitment brightens and strengthens. And I see very, very clearly now that we've got to stand up. We've got to get out there in all the nooks and crannies of Dominica and make sure that our people understand that when somebody denies you a job, that is bad enough. When somebody denies you a scholarship, that's bad enough. When somebody denies you a house, that's bad enough. But when somebody wants to deny you your sense of dignity and worth, nobody, no people should accept them.
Former Agriculture Minister Atherton Mata. DPSU General Secretary Thomas Leiter recalls the warnings of the union's executive members to the general public and Dominica's leaders that if the public officers were not properly incentivized with reasonable scheduling of work hours and proper working conditions, these public workers would become burnt out or ill, making public services unavailable during the crisis.
So sometime last year, the union recognized that there was a possibility that our health care providers would have become overwhelmed, mm-hmm. that they would be burnt out. So we thought ahead, and what did we say? We said things have to be put in place to motivate them.
Yeah.
Some form of incentive. You have to treat them good. Mm-hmm. Transportation, taking care of their families, and so on and so forth. We knew that it was not normal time that we were talking about. But we recognized that there was a possibility that we would have gotten to the point that we have gotten to, mm-hmm. where one day you had to sort of relax on the curfew, mm-hmm. in order to allow them to take a rest.
Take a break.
And, some people criticize that.
Yeah.
But I think they deserved arrest.
Later appeals to Dominicans that insightful warnings and advice must not be deemed as incitement.
When certain people see things ahead,
yeah,
and they caution us, is the way we interpret that caution. For example, you look at this whole incitement, everything now is incitement,
yeah.
Incitement. No matter how diplomatic you are in warning about something that may happen. If certain things
are not put in place,
then you are questioned, you are arrested, you know, because you have incited.
Mm.
You know, so if you say, well, if we do not do A, B, C, and D, it is very likely that people might do X, Y, and Z. And then, you know, so.
DPSU General Secretary Thomas Slater. Incoming President of the Business and Professional Women Dominica Chapter, Diane Blandford, has thanked the BPW founder, Dr. Lena Madison Phillips, for her leadership and vision in making the association a reality. The theme for 2021 to 2024 reiterates its mission, which is to develop the business, professional, and leadership potential of women on all levels.
Through advocacy, education, mentoring, networking, skill building and economic empowerment programs and projects around the world. BPW Dominica is in its infancy stage, celebrating 5 years of existence. We, the BPW Dominica affiliate, are working diligently towards making a difference in the lives of our members and the women and children in the various communities around the island of Dominica.
Incoming President of the Business and Professional Women Dominica Chapter, Diane Blandford. Coordinator of the Home Isolation Program, Dr. Gilda Nesty Tung, is calling for persons who have been placed in home isolation to follow all the health protocols that are in effect. The only persons that are allowed to home isolate are those who have been tested positive but are fully vaccinated and are asymptomatic.
Patients placed on home isolation are given a red armband at the testing site where their positive status is confirmed. All persons who have received antigen positive test results from a testing site will be issued a card indicating that they are antigen positive and the date for armband removal. On this card at each testing site, the date for armband removal is either written at the bottom of the card or at the back of the card. Persons discharged from the government quarantine facility in Portsmouth with a red armband and further instructions to quarantine at home will be given a discharge note with similar instructions. This red armband is to be secured and protected during the time period of isolation. As long as an individual remains asymptomatic while in isolation, the isolation period is set for a total of 10 days and the armband is removed on day 11. Armbands are not to be tampered with and are not to be removed prematurely. The red armband should only be removed by a health professional after the period of home isolation is completed. Persons are not to remove the bands themselves. And in the event that a patient chooses to venture out of home isolation with the band on, they will be fined.
She is urging these persons to ensure that the medications and vitamins prescribed are taken as advised.
These vitamins help boost your immune system and help expedite recovery. Vitamin C is considered an antioxidant and helps destroy the virus, specifically in the gastrointestinal tract. Vitamin D is important for healthy bones, teeth, and for muscles. It helps to regulate blood sugars, the heart, blood vessels, the lungs, and the airways. It has a role in boosting the immune system. These are areas affected by COVID-19. So giving vitamin D to a COVID-19 patient helps them to recover quickly and helps decrease the disease severity. Administering zinc supplements to COVID-19 patients with low levels of this element has been considered a strategy to reduce mortality and recovery time. Researchers and infectious disease specialists from the Hospital Del Mar Medical Research Institute have found that zinc helps prevent high-risk groups like the elderly from suffering the worst effects of the disease. Adequate hydration is also imperative. It helps in the detoxification process of the human body. approximately 8 to 10 glasses of water, as well as a diet rich in fresh fruit, vegetables, and beans is highly recommended. Twice daily temperature checks should be done, and persons are expected to report their temperatures to the district health nurse. A COVID-19 district contact number is provided on the home isolation protocol leaflet. Patients are asked to call in the COVID-19 district contact numbers and report their temperatures daily.
Coordinator of the Home Isolation Program, Dr. Gilda Nesty Tong. Commercial manager for M. Lajar Sharma Vidal has called on merchants to take advantage of its bill payment functions. Her comments came as Dowasco became the newest company to sign up for the M. Lajar payment platform to help better facilitate its customers.
Today, I want to speak specifically to our merchants out there on our bill payment function since we are launching with Dowasco. Those who are already on board and those who will be eager to come on board, we want to let the listening public know that this service is not only for individuals, like we always say, but also entities with a Dowasco account. That's what we mean when we say that our platform is designed with all in mind, from the corporate institutions to what we call the self-declared merchants, that is, the roadside vendors, the bus drivers. So merchants on our platform, no longer would you need to cut a check and mail to Dowasco's office. No longer would you be skeptical that this check gets lost in transit. No longer would you have to rely on calling Dowasco to confirm if your payment was received and applied to your account. No need to call for your balances. No need to rely on Dowasco to give you a transaction history of your past payments, since your transaction history will be stored on your merchant wallet and make your reconciliation seamless to you. No need to send your messenger to stand in line to make payments. No need to wait for your payment to be applied next day or at a later date to your account, as your payment will be processed in near real time. So we are saying, if you are a merchant today and looking for the most convenient way to pay your Dowasco bill, among other things, then we encourage you to sign up to our platform to benefit from this amazing first-time experience using M. Lajar.
Commercial manager for M. Lajar, Sharma Vidal. Dominican Pan-Africanist McLean Williams is encouraging the youth of today to strengthen and develop their studious habits. Williams highlighted great youth leaders of the past who developed their mental capacity and who challenged and overcame the powers of their era through the power of knowledge and information. Speaking on the importance of logical understanding and not getting emotionally submerged, he says a sound logical mind is very powerful.
You mentioned Black Panthers, you mentioned Malcolm X, and that is something I think is lacking among the young people, in the sense that all these men, one thing they had in common is that they were very studious. And it's something I always try to impact on young people, that you have to read. Because if you're going to question something, you have to then be able to question it, first and foremost, logically. Because you cannot just say you question something because you don't like it. That's pure emotional. And one thing I find for people is that, even in sometimes for politics as well too, is that we are highly emotional. And when you make a decision on emotions, it is not necessarily, that doesn't mean that a man cannot show emotions, but you cannot make a decision purely on emotions. You have to apply some level of logic when you're making decisions. So if you're going to do that, then you have to be well-read. You have to understand what is it that you are challenging. And then you could even go as far as even putting alternatives onto the table.
He highlighted the wisdom of sharing knowledge in order for us to grow.
So there are a lot of things that the young people can do to get themselves involved in many different things that will benefit them, not only now. Because knowledge is something, when you get knowledge, as a matter of fact, when you have knowledge and you share it, it multiplies itself. So you have to be able to at least get to the point where you know something, you acquire it, and then you share it.
Right.
That way we grow.
In other news, the recent surge in COVID-19 cases in Antigua and Barbuda has been caused by two variants. The variants have been identified as the Delta and Alpha strains. Information Minister Melford Nicholas has been speaking about the impact of these strains. 51% of all COVID-19 samples sent for variant testing has revealed the Delta variant. Information Minister Melford Nicholas says the cabinet was given the bad news on Wednesday at its weekly meeting. Here is Nicholas explaining the other variant of concern in Antigua and Barbuda. He was responding to a question from Gemma Handy of Newsco Observer.
Thank you. How much do we know about the prevalence of the Delta variant in the country? Paho recently said it was the Delta that was driving the surge across the region. Where is our capacity at for determining the different strains? And what's being done to boost that so we can have a better idea perhaps of what we're looking at and maybe how to tackle it?
Good question, Gemma. And the acting chief medical officer did share with us the unfortunate development that they have increased the number of samples that are sent to CAFA for the validation of the variant. And alarmingly, she has indicated that the two most dominant infections that that they have are shared between the Delta variant at approximately 51% of the samples sent, and the Alpha variant another 30-odd%. The other variants are of negligible proportions, as far as she has indicated.
Antigua's Information Minister, Melford Nicholas. And a judge will rule on a lawsuit brought forward by parents trying to overturn Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order banning student mask mandates. CBS News correspondent Manuel Borges spoke to a mom who fought to get mask mandates implemented at her child's school.
We were scared that the return of school was going to become a super spreader.
Before the school year began this week, Francela Guido Chacon protested and petitioned to make masks mandatory in her 10-year-old daughter's district.
That mask is not a political statement. It's not a fashion choice. It's a safety device.
The efforts were successful. Now Miami-Dade school kids, like more than half of the state's 2.8 million students, must wear masks with limited exceptions. But that could change based on a judge's ruling in a trial that is pitting parents like Guido Chacon against Governor Ron DeSantis and Florida education officials.
Parents are in the better position to make the decision about whether their kids should be wearing the mask in school, particularly young kids.
DeSantis has threatened to withhold some state funding from districts with mandates, arguing they are violating the so-called Parents' Bill of Rights, a law passed this year that gives parents more discretion over a child's education.
Some parents would say your decision shouldn't be imposed upon their child. What do you say?
That would be correct if there was not a pandemic. The fact that we're in an emergency health crisis kind of takes away their choice because now it's a health crisis.
Former CDC Director Dr. Thomas Frieden says masks are crucial for children who aren't yet eligible for a vaccine.
The mask that you wear protects people around you. The mask that other people wear protects you. And that's why universal masking indoors is so powerful.
Today's expected court ruling could determine how districts across the state, including the largest, Miami-Dade County, deal with the pandemic. And the debate comes as the number of cases and hospitalizations of children skyrocket across the country. Cases have more than quadrupled since the end of July.
And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Retired assistant professor of nursing in Houston, Texas, Dr. Yvette Roll gives a synopsis of her personal experience after contracting COVID-19. Information Minister Melford Nicholas says over 50% of the recent surge in COVID-19 cases in Antigua Barbuda is being caused by the Delta and Alpha variants. And a Florida judge will soon rule on a lawsuit brought by parents trying to overturn Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' executive order banning student mask mandates. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.